This week on Spooky Dudes Podcast, we're talking about shows for creeps, the return of Michael Myers, and lesbian vampires. That's right. It's our episode on Jess Franco's 1971 sexploitation classic, Vampiros Lesbos. Stick around and stay spooky, my dudes.
You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
When shadows fall and spirits howl, zombies stalk and madmen prowl. Monsters lurk and victims shiver. Thrills and chills they will deliver. Arise from your graves and get in the mood. It's time to join the Spooky Dudes.
Hey everybody, welcome back for another episode of the Spooky Dudes Podcast, where tonight we will be discussing the 1971 West German Spanish erotic horror film directed and co-written by Jesus Franco, aka Jess Franco.
Jesus Franco.
Jesus Franco, take the wheel.
That movie would have an entirely different tone if it there'd be a lot less nudity.
Probably. That film is, of course, Vampiros Lesbos. If you want to check it out, it is available on Shudder right now. And then come back for our commentary / review / discussion. But that beautiful voice you heard over there, that's Eric Williams.
Hello.
And I am Corey Keelan. Together we are the Spooky Dudes. As if... All right. So tonight we're going to be talking about Vampiros Lesbos. And of course, that's our first Jess Franco flick we've ever discussed on the show. Probably won't be the last, but I'll go ahead and tell you guys it's probably the last one for a little while. We're gonna go back to our Protestant roots. No more boobs. I'm kidding.
There will be boobs, but there will be more of a plot with the boobs.
There will be boobs. Season 2 of Spooky Dudes. I like it. But yeah, we got some news tonight. Eric, you want to start us off with a horrific news story?
What did I just say?
Oh, hey, guys. This just in. Okay, Eric, do you like Creepshow?
I do.
Eric, do you have Shudder?
I do.
Are you excited about Shudder's Creepshow?
Maybe.
Come on, man.
I love the first Creepshow movie.
Yeah.
The second Creepshow movie, it's not that great. So I'm like, we'll see. I mean, I know there's names tied. There is names tied to it.
There are.
I don't want to get excited for, I mean, let's be honest. This is basically a reimagining, a remake of Creepshow, but done on Shudder. I don't get excited for when they say, oh, and so-and-so is going to be in it. So-and-so is going to be involved. Like, no, because... There was a movie that came out not too long ago that was going to be called The Expendables of Horror and had a lot of big names attached to it.
Okay.
Just saying.
I think we need to start a drinking game where every time we mention anything about Death House, you guys just pound a fifth of whiskey and see how it goes.
Pack it tight. I'll watch it. I'm not getting my hopes up to it. So I need to see. I need to get a taste before I start buying.
Well, okay. So the thing about shows, you know, like in Creepshow, for those of you who don't know, the Creepshow premise is going to become kind of an anthology series on Shudder, helmed by my real life friend, Greg Nicotero. If you guys didn't know, we're big time homies.
Yep, he's at your house the other day.
He's over here just talking Jaws with me. But yeah.
You should tell him about the first time you met. That was adorable.
Have I not told that story?
I don't think you've told it on here.
Okay, I'll give you the quick version, everybody. So Eric and I went down to Atlanta for a convention called Monsterama. It's a really cool convention. This was the first time we went, right?
Yes.
And we just went and checked it out for an afternoon and walked around. And my credit card or my debit card had gotten messed up. Like someone had stolen it, like used the number or something. And so I couldn't get money out of the ATM. So I'm at a convention with no money. And so I'm kind of bummed out. I'm just walking around with Eric and we're looking at old movies and stuff. And some dude just gets right up in my bubble and like bumps into me and then goes, "Oh yeah, that one with the giant spider's great." And I'm like, "Who the hell are you, man?" Like, you know, I'm not a mean person and I'm not like a big Billy Badass or anything, but I don't like people all up in my shit. And I look over at the guy for a second. I'm like, pfft. And then I look back and then I look at the guy again as he's walking away. I'm like, I go, "Eric, is that..." And I point at him and I go, "Is that Greg Nicotero?" And he's like, "I don't know, maybe." And so we start walking around like giggling and shit.
Yeah. It's like stalking the prey and
the gazelle. The gazelle unknowingly likes a large spider movie. So yeah, Eric walks up to him cause I can't, I'm just like, I don't know what to do.
You're pretty bottled up right now. You don't want to talk. I had the same experience when I first met Joe Bob.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it went well.
So I just said, "Screw it, that you're not going to talk to him." I think I was trying to like, go say hello. So fine, I said, "Screw it." So I walked over to him and this is my exact words I said to him. And I said, "Screw it, let's see if you do me a solid. My buddy over here, he's fangirling really hard. He's a big fan of yours for years, been a fan of your work. He would like to say hello to you, but he's too scared to somebody say hi." And then he's, "Who's your buddy?" I pointed him out. And then that's when he walked over to you.
And he walks up and goes, Hey, Corey, Eric said you were wanting to talk to me. Were you too shy to walk up and say hello? What's up?" I'm like, hey, kind of threw me off. And he was just so nice. And he took a picture with me and stuff. And he wasn't even a guest at the convention. He was just walking around checking it out. And just very cool. Like, he's the kind of dude that would just talk to you for a few minutes, make you feel, you know, like you're his friend and stuff. And it was a really good experience. We don't talk on a regular basis. I was just joking about that. But yeah, he was a cool guy. He did not disappoint.
He just lovingly caresses the picture over and nods. Like, "Hey, Greg."
I have a body pillow with Greg Nicotero just printed on it.
"See you tomorrow, buddy."
"See you, buddy. Good night. Sleep well." Okay, so anyway, back to Creepshow. You know, the kind of trend over the past couple of years has been to take a horror movie franchise and turn it into a episodic show. They tried it with The Exorcist, right?
Did they?
Yeah, I think so. There's been a couple others. I can't remember off the top of my head, but I think this could really work because you basically could have, you know, like a Tales from the Crypt, but do it with the Creepshow comic guy instead of the Crypt Keeper.
Well, I saw a still image of the Crypt Show, and I'm like, okay, that got me excited. That looks kind of cool. I'm not knocking it. I'm just going in it kind of skeptical.
That's okay. But let me throw a couple names out here. This is on bloodydisgusting.com, your source for all the good horror news that we read to you every week. Jeffrey Combs, who, as everybody should know, is Herbert West from The Reanimator, and he's also that weird guy from The Frighteners. "My body is a map of pain." You know, he was, guy.
Oh, man. Dr. Mordred,
I think.
Yeah, it's the Full Moon's basically knockoff version of Dr. Strange, which is actually pretty good.
Yeah. So I'm excited about him. And Big Boy from Outcast, they mentioned him.
Is that new?
Adrian Barbeau, Giancarlo Esposito, and Tobin Bell were previously announced.
Well, there was something announced with Adrian Barbeau that I got excited about. It was all to do with women in horror.
She Kills, the podcast?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's on Shudder, too. Man, Shudder's killing it. Shudder's doing really awesome.
If you haven't given it a chance at this point, you're missing out. I mean, just give it. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised. We're not sponsored by them, you know.
That would be nice, sweet, though.
But yeah, it's one of the best. It's probably one of the better streaming services catered to a certain niche. So it's definitely worth it. At least check it out.
I think you get a free week or something. Hey, maybe you'll enter code Spooky Dudes for a free week.
That doesn't work.
So that doesn't work.
But maybe one day it will.
A couple other names that were mentioned: David Arquette, Trisha Helfer, and Dana Gould. So there you go. I'm looking forward to it, man. I'm excited about the show.
Did you by any chance just hear a noise on my end?
Yeah.
So it is almost 10:30. p.m. and apparently half my neighborhood has decided, hey, let's just go tool around on four-wheelers. I swear, I'm dipshits. Anyway.
Welcome to the Southeast, everybody.
Yep.
Eric, there was a story you were wanting to talk about, the new film from Brett the Hitman Hart and Corey Feldman.
Oh, I didn't really want to talk about that. We can mention it. I didn't even know what this is. I just randomly come across a headline saying Corey Feldman and wrestling legend Bret Hart starred in upcoming Tales from the Dead Zone. I guess it's an anthology film. I don't know much about it. There is a trailer for this you can watch. It's just Corey Feldman wearing Bono bug glasses in your face, like, this is reality now. And then the random scenes of a guy wearing a fedora and screaming at Bret Hart and Bret Hart screaming back, and then cutting back to Corey Feldman in the hotel room. I don't know. I honestly don't know anything about this movie. I just know it just looks
it looks rough.
Yeah.
The cover. Did you see the cover art?
Yeah.
It's just Bret Hart.
I'm literally just now looking at it. The nightmare has begun.
Bret Hart and Corey Feldman in front of a CGI Stonehenge looking thing with like weird birds in the sky. You would think that they make up 90% of the film.
I'm fairly certain the only things that are real in this photo are Bret Hart's face and Corey Feldman's face. That ridiculous fist that's the size of Bret Hart's head. I'm pretty sure that's...
Bret Hart is notorious for having a giant head-shaped fist. With a gun in it, by the way.
Tales from the Dark Side. Or Delza. That's why I keep wanting to say Dark Side. Dead Zone.
It's rough. Go watch the trailer, guys. It don't look good. We're not here to shit on movies, but
yeah, we're not shy, but it does look a little, the film was about a medical examiner conducting autopsies of victims of a horrible car crash who imagines how they may have lived their lives. Now reading that. Now, Corey, what other movie has something similar to this? Think about this. A film about a medical examiner conducting autopsies, however that word is, words, on victims of a horrible crash. So if somebody basically works in a morgue who's telling anthology stories about victims.
Body Bags, the John Carpenter anthology?
I'm just saying.
But that was actually decent.
Go watch that.
Carpenter, yeah. In between the segments, is my least favorite part of that movie, but...
When he's making puns about stiffs?
Yeah. I love, you know, bad dad jokes and stuff, but it's, oh boy.
Mark Hamill's in that movie.
It's not a bad movie. What Joe Bob Briggs said something recently that stood out to me. I think it was on that podcast, Flophouse, we were talking about before. He said he was talking about how he hates Chud. And I was like, you know, after watching Chud again, I understand how you hate it.
Yeah.
It does not deliver on its Chudliness whatsoever.
Most people remember about Chud is John Goodman's in it for less than 5 minutes.
Yeah, and that's a crime, dude. John Goodman's the shit. But he said the only movies he doesn't like are movies where the people don't seem to like what they're doing. Like they're not in it. Their heart's not in it. They're just making a movie to make it. And that's how Chud feels to him, and I see why.
Yeah, those movies are more enjoyable. When people hurt, nobody is outright trying to make a bad movie. But when you get pretentious people in there, they're trying to make an art, you know, like we can do it better than these people. It shows.
I like when people do something kind of different. And I mean, even, okay, like Tommy Wiseau, however you say his last name, the Room guy.
Yeah.
Even that dude loves movies. Like you can tell, I mean, his movies aren't good, but he loves it. You know, so there's something there. There's like something watchable about that, whether it's good or not.
I have you another example. Do you know what the one Roger Corman film is that has never been released officially?
The Fantastic Four?
Yep. That was literally the only movie that was never released. And there's a good documentary out on right now. I forget the name of it. It's on Amazon Prime. But everyone who worked on that, you can just – this series, they legit were trying to make the biggest blockbuster they could for the money. And it's kind of got – just kind of crapped on. And that's what sucks. But no one – my point is like when they really spend the time trying to make something really worthwhile, it shows.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even if the finished product might be a little rough around the edges.
Yeah.
It's still enjoyable.
We love movies. That's why we do this. So I don't know. Well, I will watch that movie when it comes out.
be honest, you're just going to watch it because Bret Hart.
That's part of it. It's the best there ever was, best there is, best there ever was, best there ever will be. Yep. But maybe not the best movie. We'll see.
I remember when I seen Corey Feldman in real life. Remember that?
I remember that.
Had his angels with him.
It sounds like story time again.
all this was me just staring off the side. I'm like, man, those women are at least double his height. It's not a big story. It's just me oogling from the side. I'm like, man, he's still rocking the Michael Jackson look there.
Yes, he was. He's an interesting dude.
Yeah, I didn't talk. Did you go say talk to him? I didn't. I just kind of the background. I'm like, oh, there he is.
No. Mm-mm. No, I didn't.
I would like to have got my something from Part 4 signed, but again, it's just some of those people, I'm like, yeah, I'm good. I don't really need to socialize.
He did kill Jason.
Did he, though?
He did run interference when the Klopex were coming home.
Yeah. I'm sure he is. I don't know the dude person. I'm not knocking him. I'm sure he's had some issues. He's been in some really good stuff, but.
Yeah.
A lot of these newer things, man, they're just.
He's strange, though, for sure. But speaking of things we definitely both love, the Halloween sequel to the 2018 Halloween, that's also called Halloween. The sequel is reportedly filming this fall with an October 2020 release planned. That's exciting.
Apparently Jamie Lee Curtis, Jodie Greer, and Andy. Oh, man. McKittick? Did they say it?
I think it's Matichak.
Oh, I'm really butchering that name. Apparently, they're all going to return as the Strode family. I'm curious, honestly. I mean, I know some people have made, there's things they don't like about the Halloween. I guess it's a remake. Would we consider a remake? No, it's a sequel.
Yeah, it's a sequel.
Yeah, I know. I've seen people's gripes about the humor and tonally and stuff, but I had no problem with it. I mean, there were some small things I would have maybe just toned down a little bit. Small things, not big deals. But I'm curious to where they go from here on, because I don't know how they can. They've got rid of the sister aspect, so I don't know. I'm curious.
Yeah, I'm excited, man. I loved the one last year. That was great.
There's one thing I would change. They never explained how he was captured.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
How to get a mental hospital? How he was captured? Why does this random podcaster have the murder mask he was wearing so many years later? Small things. They iron out the wrinkles in the sheets. It helps things flow better.
Well, let's stay cautiously optimistic. I think it'll be good.
Speaking of cautiously optimistic,
yeah.
Are you excited about the new Child's Play film, which has currently been released in theaters at the time we were talking about this?
Yes.
Are you going to watch it?
I probably won't make it to the theater just because it's difficult. But yeah, I'll watch it.
I've heard people not liking it. Some people saying it's not bad. Some people saying it shouldn't be considered a remake of Chuck. If it wasn't considered a remake of Chuck Child's Play, it would be better. But I think those are people who are comparing it to the original Child's Play. I'm going to watch it. Whether I watch it in the theater or not, probably. But the one thing I was making a comment earlier before we start recording, they've been putting these little teaser posters because it opens up the same weekend as Toy Story 4. And they've been making these little jab photos of the random characters from Toy Story, you know, Chucky smashed them or killed them. And I just laugh because they've spent more time and effort advertising for Toy Story 4 than they have for Child's Play.
Yeah. I don't think Disney needs any help pushing Toy Story 4. So maybe that backfired a little bit.
Well, I mean, like, I haven't already seen any trailers for it. I've seen maybe one or two trailers, and that's from like when they first announced them. But it's just been like these half-assed posters. Like, you know, I get it. Ha-ha. Oh, well. But yeah, that's coming out. There's another film coming out. I forgot the name of it already. The little robot thing.
Robot thing?
The Five Nights at Freddy's.
Oh, the Banana Splits movie.
Yes. What do you think of that when I sent you that trailer link?
I think the trailer looks pretty fun. I think that the movie is not going to be as good as the trailer.
That's a possibility.
This thing reeks of hot trailer with a hot mess for a movie. It is direct to video and sci-fi channel is involved.
Oh, they are?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, dude.
Well, all right. I'm still damn it.
Sorry, man. Yeah, I paid attention to the the text and shit. Sorry, dude.
Anyway, so Banana Split is, which I wasn't born in the 60s. It's a was a cult favorite animal rock band from Hanna-Barbera's 1968 Banana Split's Adventure Hour. Apparently, they've turned it into a movie that's going to be a horror film. It looks very similar to the Five Nights at Freddy's video game, that whole theme-wise. But yeah, the trailer looked interesting, but now I know the sci-fi is involved. My expectations have dropped significantly.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. I know it was raising a controversy. Some of the older folks, I did not grow up watching this. And I guess because it was way before I was even born, right? Like, is it 70s?
68.
Oh, geez. Yeah, I wasn't even a thought. Yeah, I never saw this. I didn't know it was a real thing. Like, I didn't know. I just thought they were making up characters and having them kill people. But it's actually, like, bothering some people about their childhood. I mean, I guess it'd be like Pee Wee Herman. Like, for me, it'd be like Pee Wee Herman just, like, killing the mail lady as she showed up at the house. Or the King of Cartoons walks in and Pee Wee's just like, I'm going to kill you. You know?
Or what was the Cowboy Curtis told Pee Wee that if he takes the blue pill, and you know, or takes the red pill, then Neo comes out the window.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know why that would happen, but
you'd be surprised. Know. There's people out there who don't realize who played Cowboy Curtis on the Pee Wee's Playhouse. I'm not going to say it out now, but if you're curious, Google it. You'd be surprised.
Yeah. You guys need to. Pee Wee is important.
Yeah. I mean, I get to feel being upset at that stuff, but the whole concept, like, you ruined my childhood, you know, just stop. Seriously. It's pointless argument. It makes no sense. There's things you love as a kid. I get you love it and you feel and you shoot. It's these emotions you feel attached to it, and then you this false sense of entitlement. Like you have the rights to the expectations of what it should be happening to it. You don't own it. They can do what they want with it. Don't watch it. That's the only thing you can do. Don't support it. But just to go online and complain like, "Hey, Ronnie, you're killing my childhood." Like, no, all that stuff is still there.
Yeah, vote with your wallet. Okay. Well, hey, who wants to talk about lesbian vampires?
Yay.
Hey, guys. This was my pick. I've been putting off watching this movie for a while.
So excited. Put it off.
Well, no, it's a weird movie. I do consider myself at this point a beginner Jess Franco fan. I've seen a couple of things he made. I'm not trying to sound like a pretentious fart sniffer, but he is kind of infamous for making like very erotic horror films, with just really long sex scenes or lots and lots of nudity. This movie has lots of nudity in it. Not so many sex scenes though. Not a lot of that. It's from 1971. It is German Spanish, which the cut I watched on Shudder was in German, but it was subtitled.
Oh, it is on Shudder?
Yeah, it's on Shudder.
Oh, my gosh.
What'd you watch it on?
I rented it on Amazon.
Oh, sorry, dude. Yeah, it's kind of buried because it's been on Shudder for a long time.
I get a refund.
Have Shudder sponsor your refund. The film, directed by Jess Franco, written by Jaime Chavarri and Jess Franco, starring Soledad Miranda, Ava Stromberg, I hope I'm not destroying names, Andrea Monchal, Dennis Price, and Paul Mueller. Music by Jess Franco. The only reason I'm mentioning this is because music is a big part of this movie for some reason. Manfred Hubler and Siegfried Schwab. What is this your first Jess Franco movie, dude?
I honestly, I don't think so. The Killed in Ecstasy. I think I've seen that one. I've seen that. I think that's the only one I've seen.
Okay.
She killed in ecstasy. That's it.
And which also, I think, stars Soledad Miranda as well, right?
Yep.
Okay. So, okay. Well, what did you think of this film?
It's very boring. That's about as nice as I think. It's very artsy and stylized. It's like I was saying earlier, I've kind of went down the rabbit hole because we started back into Don't Torture a Duckling. I went down the Jalo rabbit hole.
Yeah.
So I've been watching a lot of older exploitation films, and I think a lot of Franco's, just for anybody, I consider them sexploitation movies. I mean, they're all at least on the cusp of them. It's just, I've seen so many now, I think I need a palate cleanser, because they're hard for me to stay involved in. Because after a while, they start to blend together, because they're all, while they are very well done, it's they have a lot of very close similarities.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair. They're always beautiful. Like, they're always really interesting to look at. I'm not just talking about the nudity, but like the landscapes and the shots and the angles and everything, the color choices, they're always really appealing to the eye. But yeah, I get what you're saying. It's fair. It's a fair criticism. And he, yeah, lots of sex, all sex stuff.
Not just intercourse, like you're, what you're pertaining to. It's just, right, just erotic type imagery.
It's not porn. Like, yeah, he very well may have directed some porn. I don't know. The two flicks I've seen had just oodles of nudity. And the other movie I watched besides Vampiros Lesbos was actually also about a female vampire. And it was called Female Vampire, which is not a great name. But actually, it had a different name, too. I think it was like the Bare-Breasted Vampire Lady or something.
That sounds like a good poster.
I was trying to find the real name. It had a lot more sex stuff in it than this did.
There's also two versions of this. Do you know that?
No, I didn't.
There's a Spanish version, international version. The Spanish version apparently has 12 minutes of extra dialogue, and most of the dialogue is a change in the Spanish version, too.
Huh. No, I didn't know that.
And there's a dub also. I watched the subtitle version, but apparently there's an English dub that I don't see a point in watching English dub movies, but that's your thing. Go for it.
Oh, okay. So the other movie I watched, the real name is The Bare-Breasted Countess, but the version I watched was called Female Vampire. It's also known as The Black Countess, The Loves of Irina, Erotikill, The Swallowers.
See, when you say the titles of them, when people who don't understand what you're watching, they're instantly going to think it's something else.
It's porn. Yeah, I think it's porn. That one was damn close. I mean, it was.
What are you watching, honey? Vampiros Lesbos? You're watching what? Like.
Yeah, with the, that's another thing about this movie, though. With that name, you would think it's really, I mean, it is erotic. There's a lot of nudity and kind of like sexual energy in this film, but
yeah,
it's really not even a softcore porn, right? It's
I don't know. This is going to be really graphic what I'm about to say.
Sure, go for it.
So, earmuffs to anyone. 3, 2, 1. You're not going to watch a movie where you're going to see ball sack just smack in front of the camera for every 5 minutes.
See zero ball sacks, Max, okay? If that's what you're here for, fuck off. Not a single sack was slapped.
But joking aside, it's just, he tries to do artistic eroticism, and he does it really well.
Yeah.
It just, some stuff, it's like, what? Like, the one scene with a girl, it just cuts to it. I don't know if this is after the random boat just pops on the screen for 5 minutes, then there's a naked girl, full front of a naked, nude woman standing. I'm trying not to say naked. I don't want to take my country accent out. A nude woman just standing on a stage for a good 3 minutes. I'm like, what is this? You know, again, it's an artistic expression, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some weird imagery too, but I'll give a brief synopsis of this flick. There's basically a lady named Linda who starts getting kind of obsessed with this countess played by Soledad Miranda. And the countess is obviously a vampire. We know this real early in the film. The countess is doing some kind of erotic stage show for a bunch of people. And the show is basically her swapping her clothes from her body to a naked lady's body who's acting like a mannequin and then biting the lady on the neck.
I thought it was a mannequin.
I mean, I thought it wasn't for a minute, but then she's moving. Like, it's obviously a woman, and it's the same woman. She does this twice in the movie, and I'm pretty sure it's the same woman both times. But for whatever reason, Linda is getting obsessed with this Countess, and she goes to her therapist, and she's talking to him, and he says, hey, you just need to cheat on your boyfriend and find a better lover. And she's like, okay. And she goes home and talks to her boyfriend. He's like, how'd it go with the doctor? He's like, great. She's like, great. And he's like, well, what'd he say? She's like, nothing. And then she goes to visit the Countess, and they swim naked in the ocean. And then now I'm going fuzzy. I think weird shit starts happening at that point. We're introduced to Dr. Seward. Is that right?
I believe so.
Dr. Seward. And this movie is kind of a weird retelling of Dracula.
That's kind of what it is. It's Jess's erotic take on Dracula.
Yeah, basically. He just, instead of it being, and she's supposed to be, they even say she's like the heiress to Count Dracula. He died and left everything he had to her. But essentially after that, Dr. Seward, and there's no real twist in this movie, so we can just spoil it. I'll say spoilers right here. And
well,
no,
granted, this film did come out 71,
1971. Yes.
You have not seen this movie that is over 50 years old at this point. Come on,
go check it out. Dr. Seward is then treating, Linda. She's starting to act weird, getting kind of weak. Because I think that the Countess is trying to turn her into a vampire. None of this stuff is really like hammered into your head. I think if any credit, like people complain about movies giving too much exposition and treating the audience like a dumbass. I think that this movie doesn't do that. It doesn't give you too much information, and it's,
doesn't give you enough sustain the basic.
Yeah, I had trouble following some of it. I had to just assume things, and I think we assume correctly. But Seward is treating her. Her boyfriend comes back, and he's like, "Hey, she's what's up with her?" And Seward's like, "The dark forces are out to get her," and blah blah blah, vampires and shit. Then we go to the Countess doing her stage show again. And I didn't mention this earlier, but like I was watching the last half hour of this film last night, laying in bed with my wife, and she's messing around with her phone, and there's just crazy music playing, and she just looks up at the TV, and there's just two naked women dancing around on a stage swapping clothes or whatever, and she's like, is this the last 30 minutes of the film is just gonna be this naked woman dancing around slow on a stage? I'm like, no, I doubt it. I think something else is gonna happen.
So, yeah, this is what you picked to watch before you go to bed?
Yes.
Man.
Yeah, I slept like a baby.
Interesting choice of marital aid. Let's watch Jess Franco film.
She wasn't into it. She's like, whatever. She like, I've got a bunch of like Skinemax type movies in my Amazon queue. She just calls them my porn. she's like, just don't make me watch that shit.
This isn't porn. It's art.
Yeah, USA Up All Night style shit. I'm not talking about this.
Oh, yeah, that's
like wet summer bikini beach or whatever. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. She does her stage show one more time. The boyfriend goes looking for her. Then he goes and talks to Dr. Seward again. Dr. Seward is obsessed with vampires at this point, and he wants the Countess to come to him and convert him to a vampire. She comes to him. She does not convert him to a vampire. She kills him by way of her human servant guy, Morpho, this big old Frankenstein looking dude. After that, she gets very sad at some point and just like lays in her bed. And we're not really sure why she's sad. It's something about she doesn't have enough blood. And Linda comes to her and she's like, well, is there anything I can do to help you? She's like, yes, give me your blood. And she's like, no, dog. And she stabs her. So Linda stabs the Countess in this crazy, like, bloody scene. Morpho comes in, throws her off of her, sees that the Countess is dead, and kills himself, of course. And then Linda and her boyfriend walk away, and there's a dead vampire in the bed.
So the premise, the basics, you know, rules of being around a vampire, the vampire's needs, the story, how it flows, they don't exist at all in this movie.
Yeah, they really don't. They assume you already understand how vampires work.
True.
Basically. The soundtrack to this movie is weird. It's real crazy. And it's been kind of the stuff I've been reading online. It's like people are praising the soundtrack so much.
I don't see why. I mean, maybe it's because they've discovered later on, but as you're watching the movie, it's very intrusive and jarring because it mismatches a lot of the stuff that's happening in front of you.
Yeah. It's weird. I don't understand why it's so popular, but, some of it I liked, but yeah, it's kind of tonally strange, like especially during the stage shows.
It's trying to find it. It's slow. It's just, it's kind of dull. I mean, personally, to me, I get what they're doing. The one thing about these films is they do not age well whatsoever. This one is definitely outdated and dated to modern standards. It's just, which doesn't help it at all when you're watching for the first time, especially.
I'm kind of the opposite on that. The 70s aesthetic really appeals to me. I like this kind of off the beaten path sexploitation kind of stuff. I think it could have went further, and some of his other movies do. We didn't even mention the weird subplot that Jess Franco is in the movie. He plays a character called Mimit.
Oh, that was him.
Yeah. And he's just, there's a weird scene where he's warning Linda not to go to the island where the Countess is. And then he's like, come meet me in the wine cellar. And then when she meets him in the wine cellar, he's killing a woman who's strapped to a chair. And you're just like, what the hell is going on? Really no explanation. A little bit confusing. And did you connect that the woman who was kind of the Countess's,
was the moth, the cat, and the,
the what? No.
The imagery, like the flashes of the moth, the kite and stuff.
What about it?
That was like supposed to be the vampire. That was supposed to be like visual cues. This is dream, the influences of the vampire.
Bro, I don't know about that.
I was trying to get deep, okay?
What I was going to say is the weird lady that's in the mental institution, that's like the guy that's in Dracula that's kind of crazy, Renfield. She was like the female version of Renfield. That is his wife in the movie.
Which Dracula, though? Bram Stoker? Or?
Yeah. Well, there's a crazy lady in this movie who's like talking to the Countess, you know, in her mind or whatever, and she's wishing she could be with her and stuff. Like, that's Mimit's missing wife.
Oh, okay.
He thinks she's dead, but she's locked up in an insane asylum. But there's just like a weird little info dump at the end of the movie.
That's kind of normal, though, for a lot of films of this time period.
Yeah.
It's to fill in all the stuff that was not explained throughout the entire film. Like, last 10 minutes, we got to hurry up and wrap up connect all the dots.
Yeah, absolutely. What did you think about Soledad Miranda's performance?
She's definitely one of the best things in the film. And sadly, I think this was her last film also. My first introduction to her was when she killed next. She killed next. The film title, She Killed in Ecstasy. That was my first introduction to her. But yeah, she's probably one of the best parts of the whole movie.
Yeah, she's great. She died. She did die at 27. She actually made a few movies after that one. After really? This one, yeah. Well, She Killed in Ecstasy actually came out after this.
Oh, okay, I thought it was before.
Same year though. She made Nightmares Come at Night, Sex Charade. And then Eugenie de Sade, that was in 1973, and she died. Well, like, how the hell did she die in 1970? And then, I guess the movies were released later, but she died in 1970 in a car crash.
I wonder if Sex Charade is a real thing. It's a random thought popped in my head.
Probably. Next time at the Spooky Dudes party, Sex Charades. Spooky Boobs. That's next season on Spooky Dudes. It's Spooky Boobs.
That's our spinoff show.
Yeah. Spooky Boobs. But yeah, I thought she was great. I kind of want to watch some of her other stuff. She's very, I don't know, man. She's got a good look, and she just like kind of steals the, she doesn't even have to chew the scenery to like steal the scene. You know what I'm saying? Like, she's just got a presence. If nothing else, Jess Franco could pick amazing actresses that just, you know, make you forget everything else besides them.
He had an eye for it.
He had two of them. Hey, two eyes. I don't know. But yeah, I'd say overall, I like this film. It is slow.
It's not bad.
It's not one you want to watch, you know, late at night when you're trying to stay awake.
If you're sleepy, it took me 3 times to get through this just because of my work schedule and getting free time to sit down. It was different for me to make it through. It's just when you've got your wake, you've got the time to vote for it. You might actually enjoy it too. I mean, technically and artistically all around, it may not be the greatest, and it does, you know, what it lacks and with money and all that stuff, but it's a really good, you know, portrait into the time period where these movies exist, when they were made and stuff. So it's not bad for the when it's come out, for overall what it is.
Did you know there was a remake?
Is it actual porn? Is this like something they would actually remake a porn of?
2008, directed by Matthew Saliba. I'm going to look it up. Any particular scenes you enjoyed?
Not really. That's one of the things about this and a lot of these types of films. It can be hit or miss. Some of them just, there's no meat to them. If that makes sense. There's nothing just like really stands out. It kind of just all blends together.
Fair enough. Actually dug the skinny dipping scene, man.
Is that the beginning or the, no?
It's the first time that the Countess and, I keep forgetting her name, Linda actually meet.
Oh, okay.
She goes to her island and they swim and then they just lay there. Like it's real, unassuming and they're just hanging out. But I don't know, man. I like the movie. Okay. I thought Female Vampire was more interesting, I guess, because it was just more over the top. I don't know.
What, do you prefer a female vampire as opposed to a male one?
Well, oh, no, I mean the movie, or the bare-breasted Countess, sorry. Let's give you the actual title.
There's another title for a poster, Bare-Breasted Countess.
Yeah, and I was telling Eric before the show, like, I watched the uncut version of that on Amazon Prime, and then a week after that, Amazon had this huge puritanical purge where they're just like, we're not having any movies that are sexually explicit on our streaming service. I'm like, dude, just add an age checker. Why?
Yeah. I don't know why that's not a thing on Amazon to begin with.
Yeah.
Because you won't show these kinds of films, but I can buy all this kind of product that is just, it's graphic.
I mean, it wasn't like, I don't know, man. It wasn't an offensive movie to me at all. I was just kind of shocked at how much nudity and sex was in it. Like, I haven't seen a ton of...
In this one?
No. In Female Vampire. I'm kind of getting off topic a little bit, but just talking about the whole Amazon purge thing.
Well, I don't like it because it's just a form of censorship that, yeah. You know, it's not fair. But again, Amazon Prime is just one outlet. There's ways to watch any movie. Don't matter what it is, there's a way to find it. It just takes some time to get to it.
Right. And hey, I'm all about that physical media, guys. So check that shit out. Anyway, would you recommend this movie?
Yeah. I mean, to go into, if you'd like to dab your fingo.
Whoa. Get your fingos out.
Dabble your finger into, my gosh. If you would like to check out an intro into sexploitation or Jess Franco or this time period, it's a good introduction. Every other way I tried to say that sounded way dirtier than I was meaning to, but
if you'd like to finger blast Jess Franco, here's your opportunity.
Please don't quote that on us. yeah, it's really good. I would also check out She Killed in Ecstasy too. It's also really good.
I think I'm going to check that out very soon. I'm going to say, yeah, I recommend it. Basically, Eric gave a really good recommendation. I think this is going to be one of your lighter, more artsy, heady type of sexploitation films. It's like I said, there's some other Jess Franco stuff is very way more graphic than this. There's not a lot of violence in this one. There's not a lot of nudity or sex stuff. I mean, there's some nudity. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, typically people watch sexploitation movies for the sexploitation, and there's just not a ton of it in this.
Well, it's true. I mean, I think those people who are watching those kind of films for what they were trying to get, they're kind of missing what those films actually are.
Yeah. It's cool, though. It's a fun movie.
It is. It's kind of slow and dull, but intellectually, it's stimulating movie to watch. I mean, it's there is a lot of enjoyable things, but it's missing the big meat. It's just like, man, that was something, you know, difficult to explain that, but do you get what I'm trying to say?
Yeah. 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 It may be sniffing its own farts a little too much.
Well, it's also been, I mean, these kind of films, again, they, in the 60s, the height of the time, the 70s, and they pretty much died off in the 80s. But then, mid to late 90s, all these films, they got really popular again. That's where a lot of these they got this cult classic status symbol, is because of the repopularity. So you're definitely hearing a lot more overhyped than what you're getting. So don't go into it with your expectations super high, because again, you might not like it.
Might not. If you're down for something slow, though, I mean, we usually watch pretty crazy shit. If you're down for something slow and kind of heady and pretty to look at, and, you know, some boobies, then check it out.
So do you have a favorite female vampire movie? Or I guess they would consider all the Countess, everyone would be the Countess, or...
Oh, just of any?
Yeah.
Are we saying any movie that has a female vampire at all?
No, this particular one we have to be like a Countess character, like a Dracula top level vampire, not just some random.
I had to go with the other Franco movie I watched, the female vampire, the bare-breasted Countess. It's just crazy. It is just nonstop sexy stuff. Like if I was going to say to somebody, well, I'm going to recommend you a crazy sexploitation film, it would be that over this, right? I'd recommend Female Vampire before I'd recommend Vampiros Lesbos. If it's somebody who really wants like a lot of sex in the movie, if it's somebody that's like, well, I really want, you know, beautiful scenery and a slow story, and can you cut down on the sex quite a bit, then say, go for Vampiros Lesbos. Even though the title of the movie sounds like it's going to be just raging lesbian vampires all over the place. It's really only like three lesbians. And only one of them's really a vampire. So, what about you, man?
I was just going to make a joke about the way he once bitten. But you went really deep in it there for a second. Like, oh, he's taking it serious.
So. Oh, yeah, yeah. Is that the one with Lauren Hutton?
Yeah.
Oh, man, yeah. That was my childhood, dude. I was all about that. Between her and Elvira, I was like, yeah.
I never considered Elvira a vampire, though.
No,
her mom was a vampire.
Just
her dad was.
Just like, no, I just mean like creepy women.
Man.
Creepy hot women, you know? I don't know. It sounds like I'm a terrible guy right now. Super not woke right here.
If you would like to send any hate mail, please send it to
don't hate me, man. I'm just talking. This is a podcast.
Is the bare-breasted Countess?
Bare-breasted Countess, yeah. What year
did he make that?
What year did this come out?
71.
73? Yeah, 73. The bare-breasted Countess.
Because I want to see the poster for this. That's what I was getting quiet for a second. I started hunting.
Here, want me to send you the link?
I'll just do a Google search. Oh, that'll work.
It's so she doesn't drink their blood. She drains them of their sexual fluids. That's how she. And
this movie already is not ticking the right boxes for what you think it is. Yeah. Oh, that's not a bad cover.
No, that's the DVD cover. I would
take the bottom part of it off, and the background makes it look more interesting. The bottom part makes it look like an adult film.
Yeah, the bottom's not great, but yeah. Carlstein performs oral sex on her victims until they die, draining them of their sexual fluids. See, that's a unique take on the vampire mythos.
Yep.
Man, the plot is summed up in one paragraph for Female Vampire.
Yep, we don't even have to ever watch it because we already know what happens.
It's not.
Franco has an interesting career.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of his films mean just like, like it.
Well, I mean, you know, like I said, if you dipped your toes into Vampiros Lesbos and said, I don't like this sexploitation stuff, do not watch Female Vampire. But if you watched it and you were like, you know, it'd be cool if there's just a lot more sex in this, go for Female Vampire. There you go.
That remake you were talking about earlier, that was in 2008.
Yes.
It was a short. It was only 20 minutes long.
Oh. How do you remake this movie in 20 minutes?
Oh, well, I mean, come on.
Just a picture of a kite in a boat?
the plot in this movie, they could easily shorten down the time period.
Okay, I guess so. All right.
Well, you want to put a pin in it?
Yeah, guys, I think we have officially covered Vampiros Lesbos to the best.
If you watched it, let us know. Or if you have recommendations, Wayne.
Absolutely. Please let us know. We would love to hear what you think of Vampiros Lesbos. There's got to be some love out there for it.
Well, I know there is. I've talked to a few people, and there's some people I'm like, man, it's a absolute masterpiece. And there's some people look at those people, I'm like, what the hell are you watching? Again, I'm kind of down the middle at this point. I mean, it's not bad. It's not like, I don't think it's a masterpiece by any stretch. But then again, like I've said, I've been went down the rabbit hole of sexploitation and giallo films the past few months. So I need a palate cleanser, and we are definitely going to cleanse the palate next week
with.
What the hell's the name of this thing? It's got two names.
You can rub it, and a genie pops out.
Well, hang on a minute. Let me get the correct name, because this literally does have two names.
You want me to say it?
Well, I've got the outing.
There you go.
before I go into this movie, I'm a story about this. We've all, me and Corey, we beat to death talking how much we love the video stores. That time period, that's where we're from. But there was a movie when I was a kid I watched, and it's one of those movies that it just stuck with you. It's been in the back of my head for years. I was like, I remember two scenes from it, and I've tried to describe it to people, never can remember it. But lo and behold, one day on social media, one of our little horror groups, a poster popped up. I was like, that looks familiar. And it's called The Outing, 1987. It's a horror film about an ancient genie who's released from a lamp when thieves ransack an old woman's house when they are killed, and the lamp is moved to a museum to be studied. That synopsis literally gives the rest of the movie away, which is terrible. But yeah, after that, the museum, that's the, you know, a new thing. Let's just say the lamp may get rubbed again, but it's also called The Lamp. So I don't know if it was this different time, why it was renamed, but that is the film. It's in the back of my head. I was like, man, so yeah, that was really enjoyable for me to watch. And that will be your next week's pick. You can watch the entire film on YouTube. Just search The Lamp, which is actually the name that pops up in the credits of the movie, not The Outing. Search The Outing 1987 or The Lamp 1987. You'll be able to find it. It's not the bad. It's pretty good quality. But yeah.
Yeah.
You've never seen it before, have you?
No, I have not.
It's pretty cool poster when you see them too. This is back in the days when they spent time on posters. I know a lot of people, they type a poster art, and they kind of like, yeah, what's where most of the money goes. But back then, this is not Photoshop stuff. This was an artist who had to make these designs and stuff. So that's why I dig poster art. But yeah, Evil Genie. Interesting premise.
Wishmaster Dog.
Yeah, true, but this is not as graphic as the Wishmaster. And the genie in this one, when you see the genie in this one, you'll instantly think about the movie The Gate.
Genie Gate.
But yeah, join us next week for that.
Come on back. We'll have an outing. Rub our lamps. God, sorry. It's getting late, folks. Eric, thank you for joining me.
I'm surprised you didn't make a rub one out joke. I'm just saying. You had perfect opportunity there.
I'm going to rub some sleep out. I'm tired of shit. Guys, if you could do us a tremendous favor, go to whatever source for podcast you get this from and give us a good rating. 5 stars would be great. iTunes would be wonderful if you could do that. Give us a review if you have time. That'd be dope. Write to us, spookydudespodcast@gmail.com. We're on Facebook and Instagram. We're pretty active on those two. Just as Spooky Dudes with the cool pumpkin head, arm crossing badass dudes logo. And we'd just love to hear from you guys. Give us some feedback. Matt gives us lots of feedback, so shout out to Matt. Thank you for that, dude. Eric, as always, it's been a pleasure.
See you next week.
See you all. All right, guys. We'll see you next week. Thanks for joining us. And remember to stay spooky, my dudes.
Why should I listen to the Nerd Bliss podcast?
Because we go there.
Where?
Everywhere.
Human sexuality.
They don't care what's in your pants. They love you anyway.
Time travelers.
The problem is time will f*** back with you.
Politics and fandom.
What Star Wars has been prior to Disney. It is a white male driven universe.
Find us at nerdblisspodcast.com.
And on social media at nerdblisspod. Part of this complete breakfast and the ESO network.
The Nerd Bliss podcast.
Listen!
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Spooky Dudes Podcast. Beep. Yeah.